you got to have relationships, and people don't know how to build them. And they think that these skills are something that you're just born with, when in fact they're learned behaviors.
You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello and welcome to Womenpreneur Strategies for Success podcast. Womenpreneur podcast is for you, my bold and fearless entrepreneur, to take that next step in your life. Maybe you're hesitant to start your first business, or maybe you already have and you're looking for more clients, or maybe you have your six-figure business and want to elevate it to the next level. I have all the goods for you, my dear friends, and what I need from you is just one thing. Ready? I need you to take some massive action. All right. Today is super amazing. We are talking to Jason Troy. Jason is a business and executive coach, and among other things, he helps people create exceptional relationships to maximize your business's bottom line, along with being more happy and more fulfilled. So in other words, he helps people be extraordinary. Are you ready for this really fun and amazing interview with Jason?
Hi, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me on the show and speaking to your fantastic tribe.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on. And you are my neighbor in Dallas.
Yes, we are not very far away. Four hours by car.
Yes. Is it super hot?
It's warm today, mid-90s, but when it's not over 100, That's a good day.
I agree. In fact, I was in Dallas a couple of weeks ago for Podcast Movement.
That's fantastic. I was there briefly for part of a day to meet some podcasters. I was on the show before, and it was wonderful to go and see faces behind the audio.
I wish I'd known you then. I would have definitely come out to meet you.
It was great. I definitely recommend people going. Next year it's in Chicago.
Yes, it is. It is. So you had a podcast at one point.
I did. I had a podcast probably like 3 years ago, and it was a lot of fun. And I highly recommend it to people, because when I started doing it, the real reason I started was to talk to well-known people about challenges they were facing in their life, relationship building skills, and a lot of things that I had ideas on to write a book. And I just didn't really know where I wanted to go with it at that time. And I was like, well, the best thing to do is just go immerse yourself in it, because then the answers will find you. And that's really, you know, what I did to write my book, Social Wealth. It was really kind of the impetus behind it. And actually, I'm working on another book, and that a lot of the research was done during that period of time.
Wow, neat. So how different was it 3 years ago? Did people, the guests that you wanted on your podcast, did they know about podcasts?
They did. I mean, people did. Yeah. I mean, you know, it was hard booking guests. Obviously, my show was starting from scratch at the time, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, people, you know, I went out and just pursued a lot of people and got them, and then just had some great shows and diverse people on everything from a woman who revolutionized PTSD in the military, and just a woman who knew Gwyneth Paltrow, was a lawyer who started an interior design business. Nice. I mean, and interviewed like a socialite in New York City. I mean, just people who did martial arts based on European military strategies. I mean, I interviewed some really pretty interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, I kind of took it as sort of a lifestyle and talking to people. So it was a lot of fun.
Nice. So let's dial it back a little bit. And what was your first ever job?
My first ever job was being a caddy in a golf course when I was 16.
Fun.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. So I worked in a movie theater too.
Oh, that's even more fun.
So I got to watch movies, but then you got to watch the same movie so many times that you knew it all from heart.
Right. Awesome. So before you started Be Extraordinary TV, .tv.
Yes.
What did you do? What made you go into this and really help people with what you're doing today?
Well, I was working in corporate America as a marketing executive, and I loved, you know, I loved doing it, But I really loved doing it when I was on the road with typically the CEO of my company or some high-ranking executive talking to media, analysts, clients, whatever it might be. But when I got back and I was having to spend more and more time by myself in a room doing something, whether it was a PowerPoint presentation or if it was, you know, writing up documents, I really was disillusioned and I really wasn't motivated and I procrastinated on things. And I'd really, for a while, I didn't really line it all up in my head because I was just immersed in it. But I started to figure out that my productivity was also dipping as well. And then I just got started saying, hey, I really just don't love this. And I don't really want to be doing this forever. So I was helping two friends of mine with their friends who were moving from one big city to another. And they were really worried. They were introverted engineering type. And so I helped them move and gave them tips on how to build relationships with other people and network and just create a life that they love. And I just did it for free. I mean, I had no idea about doing coaching at all. And in 3 months, you know, their lives were massively better than they had ever been before. And I was like, maybe I have something here. So I approached a friend of mine about doing a book and I had it pretty much all written. And then just doing, you know, some coaching based on this area. And he was like, yeah, sure. Why not test it out and see if it's going to work? And so that's really how it all started. And from there, I was doing it for a few years. I decided to finally make the plunge. Things just lined up. And then I did. And then we had a big falling out. And it wasn't heading in the direction I wanted to anyways. So then I said, you know, where do I want to head? And was really to go more in business and executive coaching. And so it's taken a few iterations, but, you know, I've been there for the last year with this business.
Fun. So there's like 1 million questions that just popped up in my head. And, you know, I think the first thing that really would be very beneficial to kind of to find out from you, because you've done this, is, you know, how can an entrepreneur, or how can maybe a woman entrepreneur who's out there and she has a full-time job and she's doing something on the side, how do you figure out that it's time to take that plunge? You know, to say that, okay, I'm now done with what I'm doing. My heart is not into it. I'm not passionate about it. And I'm going to just jump. You know, so what do you think mindset wise and of course, you know, runway wise, what do you think is really important?
Well, you have to be making money at it first. Mm-hmm. I mean, someone has to be giving you some dollars to do what you're doing, right? So I think that's the primary thing, to make sure that there's a real business there and not something in your head. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I would test it out for a decent amount of time and have some paying clients. And, you know, I don't know if you have to reach a magical number, but it has to be some number. Also have enough money and savings so you can support yourself moving forward, you know, and be pretty conservative about what it is that the money that you need in order to do that. Mm-hmm. So you don't quit and then find yourself in some real challenging situations. And then I think part of that is that, and I think you just have to really be passionate about the business that you're in, right? I mean, if you don't love it, and you don't wake up and say to yourself, this is what I have to do. Like, I look at this and this is my calling. And it may not be this business today, but it's directionally what I want to do. And I know it is. Then I think eventually you just have to start taking a leap. I mean, I need to set up resources like a website. I mean, get everything in line that you need to do and think strategically through. Mm-hmm. I also find a coach or mentor to help you with the process, because success leaves clues and odds are you're not seeing them all. Mm-hmm. And you can't see your own blind spots. And so that will help you really see the plan moving forward better and making sure that you don't make a lot of, you know, mistakes that you will make. And also you speed up the time for success significantly when you have some, you know, other people. The other thing too is I highly encourage people to go get, you got to have supportive people around you. I mean, you have to have your family, your friends. I would join a women entrepreneur group because one of the things I found that I didn't really know before I did it was how little people understand about being an entrepreneur. Like, I have a lot of friends, but if they're not eating what they kill every day and making money through it, they just don't get it because they have a paycheck, and that safety net is really difficult for other people to understand what it is you're doing, why it is you're working. And so I think having that group of people that you can go to get support, that know what you're going through without you having to say it, is really critical for you being successful, because there's definitely some hills and valleys here along the way, and it's difficult if you have to go it alone.
Absolutely. And I think you definitely hit a nerve there, even with me, because that's something that I went through in the past year and probably still I'm going through, you know, because a lot of my friends or acquaintances are all people that have normal jobs, because at one point that's what I had. And even today, it's so hard for me sometimes to explain to people what I do. And it's so hard for people to understand it.
Yes.
You know, even when I started the podcast, I think about 80% of the people that I hung out with didn't even know what a podcast is, right? And I was like, so first I had to get over that hurdle. Then I'm like, okay, this is what I do. And it's very interesting. And I think that's so true, is to find that tribe, find your people that really understand you, because like you said, there are a lot of hills and valleys, and I like that.
Yeah, there
because,
is.
You know, every day, maybe in the morning, you're super excited. You got like, I don't know, 500 signups, and then, you know, the next day it's crickets. What do you do? So yeah, it's quite amazing.
You've got to be prepared for that. And I think mentally, I don't know if you ever are, but you just have to persevere. And I think, you know, when I talk to most people about their businesses these days, it's taking like 24 to 36 months to get from the start of what you do to get where you want to go, if you're going to get there. And that's a long time. And that's, you know, and everyone says, you know, when you hit the breakthrough is when you're either the most confused or you least suspect it and you're about to give up, but they're willing to take that next step. And that next step had the breakthrough. And I think it just happens to everyone doing it. So everyone out there listening, you have to persevere, whatever you have to do. So get the support, get coaches, get whatever you need, and invest in yourself. Because I mean, I love doing what I'm doing here, but my friends, I still to this day right now, I don't think 100% really know what I'm doing. And like, even though I tell them, I still don't think they kind of get that people actually pay to coach and do this thing, right? No matter what I tell them.
Right.
So I think it's one thing that you just have to live your dream and don't live it for other people, because friends come in and out of your life like busboys in a restaurant. And I had a great quote in a movie, Stand By Me, and I think it's the truth in life. So you've got to live your own life and your own path, because no one else is going to do it for you.
So true. And I completely agree with the importance of getting a coach or a mentor, because like you said, I think it just makes that journey, it just makes it a little bit more faster. So
yes,
definitely, I completely agree with it. So give us some networking tips, because you helped your friends and they saw success. Help us.
Well, the quickest route is make sure you're in the right room. And the best places to go are charity events and nonprofit organizations, which are museums, opera, symphony, etc., because that's where wealthy people go. That's where influencers go. And that's where people who are socially mobile go. I mean, those two areas are it. That is where the magic is made in the United States and beyond. I mean, why would you go anywhere else, right? I mean, like, I think interest groups are great. I think that you can go to religious and political organizations to meet people that are like-minded as well. But that's not where you're going to find the gold, right? And the gold is in those organizations. And the reason is, one, is people go to those organizations and it's about giving. And that's always the best place to start. Right. People are there to meet other people, whether it's for a happy hour, an event, or whatever it is that they're doing. So people's defenses are down and they want to meet people. So that way you can go in and in 60 minutes, you can meet, you know, 5 to 20 people. And that's more you're going to meet anywhere else, and quality people and people that are doing big things. And in the process, how you go and you do that is when you run into a person, you've got a reason to ask them, are you part of this organization? You know, what do you want to do? You know, why are you here? And you can ask them questions, what's going on in their week. But the key thing is you want to tap into them emotionally in the conversation, because you have to build rapport, likability, and trust are the foundations of building any relationship. And you have to cover all three bases when you first meet someone in order to create enough intrigue to move that relationship further. So when it comes to rapport, you need to emotionally connect with someone, because if you connect in their emotions and their heart, that's why we do everything we do. You're doing this podcast because you're emotionally driven about it and you're passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And so you wanted someone to be passionate about you. So the question I ask someone is, what are you passionate about in your life? What projects are you working on that you're really excited about?
And is that something you'd ask somebody you met the first time?
Yeah, I ask them like the second or third question because because let's skip, you know, the small talk and act like you've met the person five or six times when you've just meeting them, because then they're going to feel more, they're going to feel like they're familiar and they're going to like being around you because you're just fun and it's like easy and you're talking about things they actually want to talk about, which number one is themselves and two is what they actually love to do, right? And you ask them that question and they'll tell you whatever they're going to tell you. And then you can ask them, like, are you having any challenges with that? Because if you ask them that question, you now know if they need help. And if they need help, you can offer help, or you can offer a book. You could offer a contact or a resource or something else. Or you can say, hey, let me go think about it and I'll get back with you. Let's exchange contact information, right? Because when you do that, the other thing that happens is you immediately start getting in that person's inner circle and you've created a lot of intrigue, because people who don't have a scorecard in their life, who don't keep a scorecard, are people like their best friends, their family, business partners. You've shown them that you give first and not don't take. And when you do that, you open people up. And then when you ask them for help, they're more apt to help you, right? And then you can mention if you need something help for, and if not, you don't need to bring it up during that conversation. But the key thing is to help them with that. And that will really push you forward. And the second thing I'd also say is be present, right? I mean, most of communication is nonverbal. So if you're thinking about what you have to do tomorrow, you're signaling to the other person, because people can see your eyes darting around and they know you're not present and you can't control that. It's called micro expressions. And so that's something that you can't do. So be present in the conversation and be an active listener. Repeat back some of the things that they're saying to you so they know you're actually listening and engaged in the conversation. And the other thing you can do as well is do mirror and matching, which is a little bit of mirroring what they're doing in their body movements, which also creates rapport with them, because they think of you as a like person. You're like them when doing those things.
Interesting. Interesting. So do you think that, and generally I'm the kind of person, I'm not scared to talk when I get into a room, but I do tend to make small talk, you know, because I feel like if I ask them, and that's why I asked you, I said, you know, would you do it the first time? And that's interesting. I'm going to really try that, because I think it just immediately sparks an interesting conversation. But, you know, I wonder if people would think it's too intrusive.
No. And the great thing about it is that I've had people who've given me, you know, really blah answers. And you know what I think to myself? If they're not passionate about themselves and their life, why should I be?
Sure.
And I immediately was like, okay, great. Next. Right. I mean, like, I don't have time to waste around. Let's, why would I want to go spend five or six conversations when I can just dive in deep? Right. If people want to have meaningful conversations, it's just people are afraid, and you have to lead in your life. Right. If you want something, you have to lead. You have to lead with vulnerability. Right. I had this conversation a few months ago with the woman that I met out at a charity event, and asked her what she's passionate about. And she's passionate about, you know, cancer charity events, and she's starting her own. And I was like, well, that's great. My mom had leukemia and almost died like 15 years ago. And I told her a brief story about that, probably less than a minute. And then she started to tell me about her sister who had breast cancer, and literally was starting to cry. And I met this woman, and that conversation lasted 10 minutes, and she started to get tears in her eyes in like probably the 5 minute mark. And she gave me a hug, and then she introduced me to her friends, and she was like, hey, you gotta meet Jason, such a great guy. And I didn't even know, I mean, she didn't even know me, and she's saying things like that.
So that's how you got in touch with the emotions.
Yeah, exactly. Because you get it at core level, people want to have these conversations, right? They want you to ask it. It's just, you're not asking it. And most people don't, because they're afraid. And if you lead with vulnerability in the conversation with people and share stuff about yourself, that opens them up. Then they know it's safe, right? Because people don't know it's safe, and they're worried you're going to judge them. So you make it a judgment-free zone, because you lead with being vulnerable. You lead with authenticity. You lead with generosity. That's you open the door for people to do that to you, and many times way greater than you're doing to them.
Right. And I think a lot of times people don't really jump right into it, or are scared to talk, is because they're afraid of the cold shoulder, right? Like, what if I start a conversation and maybe that person is really not interested? What do you say?
Life's a numbers game. I mean, it is. If you expect to go out there and hit it off with every person you meet, then you know what? There isn't a single person that does this. I talk to super networkers, people who have massive contact, and they tell me they fail in conversations, bumble around all the time, every single day. And it takes them a lot to meet the friends that they have, right? And I think you get to know people better when you interact with more people because you know what you like and dislike. And then you can challenge that because a lot of times we like things that are similar to us and we don't like things that are dissimilar. And that is something important for people because in order to live a full life, you have to have people from a broad array of backgrounds, ethnicities, gender, whatever it's going to be in your life, right? Because otherwise you're not really getting the full picture of what's going on. And it's something that's really helped me is to have friends of, you know, every race, every, you know, ethnicity and all over the place. And I think that that's been a way for me to challenge my own blind spots and get new perspectives in my own life.
Interesting. Interesting. And you know that I'd read Judy Robinette's book and I remember one particular, I think it was a phrase or a sentence where she said, you know what? If people are not into you, just say, okay, next.
Yeah, you have to. That's life. And I think that that's okay. And that's just life because again, there people want to be around people that are like them or people who they want to be. And you're just not going to fit that for every single person. And no matter how charismatic, no matter how extroverted you are, no matter how whatever you are, it won't always fit. And it's just like a shoe. You got to find the one that fit right for you. And you're going to have close friends, acquaintances, and that's fine, right? Mm-hmm. And people will shift in and out of your life. And the great thing is there's so many great places to meet people that if you actually get out there and put out some effort and lead and think, how could I create some more friends and business opportunities as well? You can do it.
Mm. Fun. Now, before we get into social wealth, which I want to talk about, I do want to ask, would you give the same tips to an introvert too?
Yes. And what I would do with them is I'd say, look, going to events like that are absolutely critical because then you can schedule them in and you can say to yourself, okay, I'm going to go to two events this week that are 2 hours long and I know what I'm going to do. I can prepare ahead of time. I don't need to be out for 4 hours and I can leave, right? Because they recharge their batteries and do things in a different way than an extrovert. Like I get excited about going out and meeting people. I have to do it. An introvert may like it, but they don't get recharged that way and they can't be social all the time. They need more of their alone time. So it's really important to spend that with people and doing it in a way that's strategic and also time bound because I find people can do that a lot better. And I had a client once I was like, well, every hour, go outside and put on your headphones and listen to music for 5 minutes and then come back in because he's getting overwhelmed. And I was like, okay, we'll try that. And it worked like magic, right? Another person who I had worked the check-in table, right? You know, the beginning of the night because then they got to meet all the people coming in. And then it wasn't so overwhelming to walk in a room full of people they didn't know because now they met all these people the first time. So the second time's a lot easier. So there's a lot of strategies that you can do to just not feel overwhelmed, to not have to spend all this time meeting people if you can do it in groups. And also, you know that many of the people you meet in a group will come back to that group as well. So even if you don't get a chance to exchange contact information with them, odds are they're going to come back. And, you know, you can do the same thing with inviting people to a brunch, right? On a Saturday, let's say, you know, for an introvert, it's a great thing, right? Maybe they don't want to go out the whole day with people, but they can invite someone, bunch of people to a brunch. I do this all the time. Invite like 5, 10 people, just make a reservation and you can do something for 2 hours and then have time by yourself the rest of the day.
Great. Great. I think those are some really actionable tips. Awesome. Thank you, Jason.
You're welcome.
Great. So let's talk about social wealth.
Yes.
Tell us. Yes. Tell us about the book and tell us what made you write it.
Well, relationships are really why we're here. I mean, that gives us meaning in our life. You know, connection and belonging, you know, are my core emotions. And that's really what people want to do, right? No one had a tombstone that said they worked a good life. I mean, you got to have relationships and people don't know how to build them. And they think that these skills are something that you're just born with when in fact they're learned behaviors. And so I wanted to write a book where I could give them a blueprint on how to go meet people personally and professionally and do it in a way that would work. Because I know, because I've met, you know, 15,000 people that I know in Dallas, and I met it through the book. And what I did, and more of the failures and the success, but this is, you know, the end product of what I did. And so it will really get people there. And I was out there looking through other relationship books, and it felt like they really lacked the crystal clarity blueprint of telling people what to do, what to say, how to get out there, and really the whole process in order to do it. And not just in a business context, but in both, because you meet people at work in your business, they could be friends, but how do you transition that? How do you have that relationship? And people in a social setting are great business contacts, but how do you do that? And where do you go? And I wanted to really put something together for people that there wasn't fluff. It just was straight information. Read the book, execute it, and you never have to interact with me to have success.
Nice. So it's about building relationships.
Yes.
Perfect. And I think that's so, I mean, I think in today's day and age, people are really looking for it. And I see it like even practical terms, right? For example, Google Groups has taken over Google Pages. And yep. One of the reasons that when I seen all of this is that relationship. People want that to know, okay, if it's a podcaster, I want to know what that podcaster is doing. Let me get in touch with them. And I think having those relationships even is so important. And I'm going to get it.
It's the key to life. And yes. You have to, and it's like math. It's like science. It is a learned skill set. You will not get good at it by experience and hope. That, you know, hope is not a strategy in life. Mm. It's not. And if you want to have a great partner, marriage, you have to work on it. If you aren't actively working and learning and acquiring new skill sets, your relationship either will fall apart or it won't be as near as successful as it could be. You've got to start putting your priorities in life and actually spending the time on that and investing in yourself and investing in other people. And that's a necessity to be successful. And I think it's something that we don't focus on. Like, we don't focus on social communication and emotional skill sets. And that's what really hurts people. My clients are all fit that, right? They're executives mm-hmm. that they've worked hard and, you know, they spent a lot of time working smart, but now they're plateauing. And every executive, every business owner will at some point plateau. Mm-hmm. And it's the skill sets that people look at, the soft skill sets like leadership, relationship building, influence, that are going to take you to the highest levels and make you a lot more money, a lot more success, and more importantly, much more fulfillment in life, which is what rarely people have, right? You see people making money, but there are very few people that are financially successful and fulfilled. And mm-hmm. the fulfillment part of it is the holy grail in life and something that can be acquired and can be done very successfully if you invest in it.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk a little bit about business relationships. So when you are, say, for example, trying to build a new relationship with maybe a client or maybe an influencer, when do you think is the right time? Where's the fine line between pushing too much and giving and helping?
Well, I mean, they look, you know, the numbers on sales cycle say, like, I think it's 80% of deals are closed on the sixth contact with someone. So you've got to have a lot of contacts with someone in order to close deals with them, whatever that might be. So that's, I think the first thing is you got to be in for the long haul, especially if you're trying to get a bigger ticket item through someone. But I think the key is to start giving immediately and ask people what they're passionate about. I mean, I do this to people that are prospects of mine all the time, right? And people mm-hmm. that I know. I need to know what's making them tick. I need to know what's really going on. I think you also want to lead with some vulnerability in a conversation and bring things up, right? People want to know, people want to be okay with being imperfectly perfect, right? But you have to allow that in the process. And then you just have to ask people, you know, if they're interested in what you're doing. I mean, you've got to go into it and you've just got to ask for the order. If you don't ask right. for it, you're never going to get it.
Get it.
And then see what they're saying. And they may say yes, they may say no, they may say you have to think about it. Well, that's great. And you can also ask them the question, you know, who do you know that I should speak with? And I like a question like that because it's a leading question, assuming that they have people that you could talk to instead of do you know someone? Because then they can say yes or no. Mm-hmm. And then a leading question may give you some other prospects and other ideas of people that you should reach out to. And that way, even if that person doesn't want what you have, remember, they have a network behind them. And that network can be very powerful. You just don't know what it is, so you might as well ask. And I think you just have to be prepared. And then I'd be prepared to follow up, right? I mean, you can go back to people and interact with them, and they'll know you're there. And you can just say, hey, you know, if they've indicated any interest at all, right, you can engage with them again and see, hey, have you thought about doing, you know, coaching or things like that? And again, and they might say yes or no. And then
you just go on.
I mean,
exactly. Ask, right? Because if you don't, you're not going to get it anyway.
Yeah, you won't get it anyway.
So exactly.
No matter what it is, right?
Yep. Yep.
It doesn't matter what everyone's selling out there, selling something.
Yeah.
And so whatever it is, right? You can be marketing and you're selling something. So you just have to. You're an engineer. You're selling something yourself, right? You may want a different job. You may want something else. Well, you've got to start getting out there, because networking is the number one way people are getting jobs. I mean, I help a friend of mine here, and she had like 8 jobs she was interviewing for, and she didn't apply for one job online. It was all networking, right? So it can be done, but the wrong time to network in is when you need a job, right? That's not networking.
Right.
That's looking for a job, right? So the key thing is do network when you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you have the network already built and you can access it. And if you lead with giving, people are going to want to help you a lot more than they will if you're just out there with your hand out first. I mean, there's enough takers out there. And in fact, it's easier for my clients, for me, the more wealthy a client is, because people at the top are so scared of being taken advantage of, that if you lead with giving, they're basically opening their pockets and their house and their cars and whatever they have to you, because they don't meet anyone like that. Everyone's taking. So giving at the highest levels is the most strategic thing you can do. And it makes selling way easier than it is at any other level.
Perfect. Perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much, Jason. That was really fun. Now, before I get into the lightning round, I do want to ask you, do you have any tools for networking?
I use LinkedIn, and then you can use a CRM system, whatever it is. I mean, you can something like Pipedrive, which is really cheap. Something that you can put in so you can track prospects, you know, people that you need to follow up with, because you have to have a list of people that you really want to go after, right? I mean, I think it's important to have a list. Maybe you have a top 10, top 20, top 30 list. And this could be socially in your city, people that you want to meet, or just influencers. It could be business things, whatever it's going to be, because then you're going to start searching out those people and knowing how you contacted them and tracking it down. Because if you keep it all in your head, you'll forget and it won't work. It won't work. So the best thing to do is just find whatever works for you, because I think everyone has a different way and a different system that they're using.
Sure.
I wouldn't really get bogged down in it. I'd get down, if you want to meet, you know, the top 20, top 10, top 30 people, you want to be able to contact and interact with them like every single week. And I think you've got to give yourself several months. And this can be social media. It doesn't have to be one-on-one, right? But you've got to start there and then go try to get one-on-one meetings and then keep following up with them and keep doing things that are really helpful, and then putting like a personal touch on it, right? And meet people like that. I tell the other thing to do is just giving people a book, right? Which is great. And maybe sign something in the beginning of it to make it more personal, which is a great touch and people love it, right? Because you thought about them. So I think that's like the easiest thing and tool that I use. And I don't really make it that complex. I'm just, the key is just taking action.
Absolutely. Awesome. And are you ready now for our lightning round?
I'm ready.
Perfect. So what trophy would you want on your mantle, Jason?
I would want a trophy that actually sits on my clients' mantles and tell them how wonderful and amazing that they are. And that, because for me, looking at a trophy, it's nice, but I'd rather have it on my clients, because that's what inspires me the most.
Oh, that's nice. So that's the giving emotion that's coming out.
Yes.
That's awesome. And what is your guilty pleasure?
My guilty pleasure is, I'd say a couple. One, I love watching Dallas Cowboys when I go to games. So that's like one of them. And spending time with my Jack Russell Terrier, who's sleeping 2 feet away from me right now in his bed. So
nice. And what are you currently reading?
I am currently reading, well, I will be reading Rising Strong by Brené Brown, actually. Yes. I need to look because I think her book has just come out and it'll be in my Kindle. I'm reading, or I'm just about to start The One Thing by Gary Kelleher. So that's,
yes,
it's on the top of my Kindle right now.
Yes, that's awesome. I read that one. That's a really good book. And what is your one productivity tip?
Wake up every day and tell yourself this is going to be another amazing day as usual, because that puts you in the mindset to expect great things to happen. And then next, do a gratitude list and do three things that you're grateful for, and it will open up the world for you. Because when you are in a gratitude mindset, you see abundance in your life and you're happy to have the roof over your head and you look at things in a new way, and that will help you see abundance, but also it's the number one way for happiness. They've researched this, and gratitude is the key to happiness. So when you put yourself in a state like that in the beginning of the day, life is really good. And then I recommended people go read a book, go read something, because you get your mind moving and you get your mind engaged in something. And it can be just for 5 minutes. Then go down there, have a glass of water, get your body moving, have a healthy breakfast. And if you can, if you like exercise in the morning, I mean, I recommend people do that. And also, you know, some mindfulness thing is helpful. There's meditations, there's easy things to do that can take 5-10 minutes to get yourself in a good state, and then just take on the day.
Perfect. Sounds good. Have you read that book, The Miracle Morning?
I did, by Hal.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think that was a good book.
It is.
Yes. And what is your personal motto?
My personal motto is be courageous, right? Be daring in your life. And that to me is helps me, because momentum and motivation in life is found through taking action. You don't get it before. You have to take that leap of faith, and it's not going to work out all the time. But when it doesn't, you need to ask yourself, what lesson do I need to learn? Why has this obstacle been put in front of me? Instead of saying, well, it never works out for me, or boy, this is a big failure, because that's not what successful people do, right? There's a reason things happen, but you have to get out there and you have to take action, because the magic is in taking courageous action in your life.
Perfect. And what would you do differently if you were given another chance?
I would have started this business a long, long time ago, because I love it and it's me and it taps into my purpose.
Perfect. Awesome. And Jason, how can people find you?
They can go to my website, beextraordinary.tv. That's beextraordinary, all one word, .tv. And they can read my blog. They can connect with me on all the social media channels there. They can find a link for my book on Amazon. Then there's information about my coaching programs on there as well, and products that will be launched later in the fall.
Perfect. And you have a new book coming out?
Yeah, probably spring next year. I'm working on it now. I'm starting to do some research and contacting a lot of amazing people that I want to actually include in the book and get some stories. So that's awesome. On my list.
Well, good luck with that.
Thanks.
And we will certainly be following you. Thank you so much, Jason, for taking the time out and giving us really these valuable tips. I think everybody should try these.
Well, thanks to you. And I appreciate, again, talking to your wonderful tribe.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jason. So that, my lovely, lovely listeners, was Jason Troy. Be sure to link up with him on social media. All of his links are on the show notes page at www.womanpreneursuccess.com/38. You can link up with me on Facebook at Smita Singh and Womanpreneur Success. And don't forget to go to our website at www.womanpreneursuccess.com and get our free Womanpreneur Success 7-Day Jumpstart Kit. It'll really help you to get unstuck, or if you're just starting out. Once again, don't forget to subscribe to the show, because that is going to help you get the episodes without you having to look for it. So the day it's released, it's going to be in your playlist. All right. Thank you so much for letting me hang out in your earbuds. And don't forget, today's episode is at www.womanpreneursuccess.com/38. Thank you. Bye.
This concludes another episode of Womanpreneur Strategies for Success. Be sure to visit us at womanpreneursuccess.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.